Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Aerosmith there. And in the wake of Eddie Van Halen dying last week, I heard the discussion, which we have talked about, I remember once on this show, who was the greatest American rock and roll band ever? And I heard Van Halen's name come up because Eddie died at the much too young age of 65 years old. I also hear Aerosmith's name. Who's the better American rock band? Aerosmith? Or Van Halen. I've heard the Eagles' name in that discussion. I've heard the Beach Boys' name in the greatest American rock band ever. Because they sold a lot of records, and so did the Eagles. And I've always heard the battle, Van Halen versus Aerosmith, for the greatest American rock band. You know, all four of those bands, people can make a valid argument for. I don't know how important the sale of records is or was, because you can't go by that anymore. Hey, nobody buys records. Nobody buys CDs anymore. It's people buy one song at a time, and they buy it online. And we talked about last week how after Eddie Van Halen died, how many Van Halen songs, several of them, flooded iTunes. And we mentioned how you've heard the cliche, nothing sells like a dead rock star. Well, ain't that the truth? Because Van Halen's songs went right to the top of the list when it came to people buying songs, downloading songs off of iTunes and other places. It happens with rap stars too. When rappers die, you see a lot of their songs going, and it's something. How many Van Halen songs sold for 99 cents each last week after he died? You know, it used to be when a rock star died, people would actually go spend $15 on a rock star's album, but
you never bought a single back on cassette or vinyl, like a 33 or maybe a little single cassette tape. I remember singles being like $2.99 in stores, like a single cassette.
Well, Coleman, when I was a little kid, my older sister, who was 4 years older than me, she had a huge collection of 45s, they were called.
Yeah.
Because they went 45 RPMs on your turntable. See, this, I'm talking about, this is historic stuff. I might as well be talking about Jesus. Oh, we will be coming up with the whole situation with the church in Pearl River, who had a get rid of the priest who was half naked doing sex making a porno film on the altar last week. Well, we talked about that last week. But going back to what we were talking about now, Coleman, I feel like I'm talking about history here when you talk about the 45 RPM that you would physically put on the turntable. It was the little record. The album, the big one, was the 33 rotations per minute.
Okay.
and personally, I like that because I was an album person, because if I liked the band and went and bought their album, I'm not going to be one to bitch and complain about the quote-unquote filler songs on the album. No, to me, that was my band, the band that I liked, making music that I probably liked. Yeah, the album wasn't filled with singles.
All right.
But now it's a completely different world we live in. You got a rock star who dies, Eddie Van Halen. There's no record stores to go to. There's no records to buy. There's nothing like that. No, you grab your iPhone or your laptop or your iPod, and you go there and you buy one song at a time for 99 cents. I mean, I guess that was kind of like the 45. I don't know how much money the 45s cost.
It wasn't 99 cents, I can tell you.
No, it was more than that. Because it was before my time, and people like my sister bought those. But then I would sneak into a room and I would grab the 45 and listen to it. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Singles have always been so, like, the cassette tapes that I remember buying the single, it was like $2.99. And then when CDs came out, they would also sell like the single song of a CD, probably like two or three songs, like the single, then like the instrumental, then the radio version, and that was like $5.99. So I guess they're getting a deal because there's no physical album or disc or anything. It's just you just downloaded an information. That's probably why it's so cheap.
You know, that's a part of America. And you know, I bet you the younger generation would say, well, screw you, old man. But to me, I remember on a Saturday afternoon with friends going to the record store, physically picking up the records, physically looking at them and seeing the artwork, which, and not only that, I mean, hanging out with friends in record stores, hooking up with girls in record stores. I mean, I think that's something that you miss when you pick up an iPhone and you just push a couple of buttons and you get your favorite Eddie Van Halen songs that he's playing guitar on. You get all of those. Each of them for 99 cents and under 99 seconds, and you've never left your couch, you've never left your bedroom. You're sitting on your bed, maybe looking like a slob and smelling too.
You remember that time U2 just decided to give everybody an album on the iPhone without them asking? They just woke up one day and the whole album was inside their phone.
U2.
Yeah, U2 did that. Could you imagine?
It was the most returned album in the history of albums.
So imagine if it was back in the day, U2 would just be sending people albums inside their mailbox. You just wake up and there's a U2 album in your mailbox. It's similar to that, but they just decided on a whim, hey, let's just give everybody our album without them asking permission for it. You just wake up and the U2 song's on your phone.
So if you're listening right now, I know it's early Monday morning. It's before 6 a.m., even though our show starts at 5:30. Who do you think is the greatest rock band, American rock band? I threw out a few names. I mean, if there's anyone else you could think of, please help me out. You could text us at 504-260-9595. Keep your text short and sweet. If it's good and adds to the show, we'll read it coming up. And please do not text while you're driving. Who is the greatest American rock band? I mean, I would have to say either Van Halen or Aerosmith. And I probably lean towards Aerosmith because more work. Although, I mean, you could, either of those bands work for me. I mean, I could see how some people could say the Eagles. I believe the Eagles have sold more albums than Aerosmith and Van Halen. That one Eagles album, The Greatest Hits, Volume 1. I mean, they've had two Greatest Hits albums. The one Greatest Hits, Volume 1 is the one that seems to That's the one that sells. It's right next to Michael Jackson's Thriller when it comes to album sales. Again, though, is it album sales that make, is that the defining reason why one of these bands would be the best American rock band? I don't think so.
Do you think a greatest hits album counts as an actual album? Because all they're doing is taking the best songs from their albums and putting it together and on the album. Like, these five songs from this album and these two songs from this album and these three songs from that album all sold a lot, so let's put them all in one album and resell it. Do you think that should count?
It's a great question, Coleman. No, but yes, it does count. And that particular album, the Eagles' Greatest Hits Volume 1, you know, you're grabbing rock fans, you're grabbing country fans, because the kind of was a little bit countryish in there. And you ask great questions. I don't know if you held a gun to my head. I mean, I like them all, but if you held a gun to my head and said, John Osterlin, who's the greatest band? I mean, because America has created and invented and found many, many things. I mean, Jesus, people are flying in airplanes because of America. People use an ATM card because of America. I mean, when I went to college, that's when the ATM card was invented. Before that, if you didn't have cash in your pocket on a Friday at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, you were screwed for the entire weekend. I mean, think about that. But the greatest American rock band, you can text us 260-9595, and like I said, if it adds to the show, we'll read it coming up. I got no problem with Aerosmith or Van Halen. I have a little bit of a problem with the Eagles. Who's the greatest American rock band ever?
I know I have more memories with Aerosmith, you know, from movies like Armageddon and some of the videos they did with what's that girl name, Reese Witherspoon is her name. Yeah, like the videos from Crazy, Amazing, like those videos that I...
No, you're thinking of Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, Alicia Silverstone. Oh, yeah.
That's who you're thinking.
That was my teen crush. So, yeah, I have more memories with
her hanging out with the singer's daughter, Liv Tyler, in those videos. Spectacular-looking women. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And in case you didn't know, our show starts at 5:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. And we just played an Aerosmith song around that time, and I came on and I said, with Eddie Van Halen dying last week, the question came up, is Van Halen the greatest American rock band, rock and roll band? They're in the discussion, there's no doubt about it. Who's the greatest American rock band? Is it Aerosmith? Is it Van Halen? Is it the Beach Boys? The Eagles? Metallica? You know, what makes one of those bands the greatest American rock bands? You know, the Eagles came up, and you could say this about Metallica and the Beach Boys too, because of how many albums they sold. We live in a different time now. Albums don't sell the way they used to. People don't go to record stores. There aren't record stores to go to buy albums and to physically hold the discs in your hand and look at the artwork. And I mean, I used to love that stuff. Going to record stores with friends. And I remember spending days, hours upon hours, hours at record stores. The life has changed, like so many other things. We don't do that anymore.
Right.
People want to buy something. They want to buy music. They really won't go buy albums like we used to. They just pick up their cell phone and they'll go spend 99 cents on a single, and they will stream that single from wherever they bought it from to their personal collection.
My generation has something similar. You know, when I grew up, the big things were the arcades. Now nobody goes to arcades anymore and puts quarters in and play the game. Now everybody's just on there. They're at their house and they're playing PlayStation, and they can connect with people all around the world. They don't even have to go to arcades.
Wait a minute. Slow down here. You and I we're separated by some years, and arcades were big when I was in high school. I remember riding my bike.
I love that face you made when I said that.
But I remember riding my bike to the arcade with friends and having a pocket full of quarters, or going to get a pocket full of quarters and playing, but putting the quarters in and playing Pac-Man. Wait, I don't want to be sexist. And Miss Pac-Man.
Right.
I remember playing Asteroids. I remember playing games like that.
But the difference is back
Space
then...
Space Invaders.
Back then, you know, when they started making home consoles like Nintendo and Atari, they weren't connected to the internet. So if you wanted to play with your friends, you would have to go to the arcade, or you have one other person next to you at the console. But now, with the PlayStations and the Xboxes, you can sit at your house and play with everyone from around the world without nobody being at your house. That's what I was trying to get at. Like, my generation... We used to play multiplayer games at the arcade games. Now we don't have to do that.
How old are you?
I'm late 30s.
So you're late 30s. I'm early 50s. So, but we have that in common.
Okay.
Wow,
I didn't mean to be ageist.
Certain things bringing the people from different generations together. So I asked you to text us, and I don't think there's a wrong answer here. You know, any of the bands I just named. They're valid. You could say, wow, that's the greatest American rock band. But I mean, different people have different opinions.
Yeah, some of these opinions are really great too, and I want to give mine after we go through some of these. So,
I mean, and let me quickly give mine. Did I already give mine?
No.
If you held a gun to my hand, and again, all of those bands are great. I love listening to all of those bands. As a matter of fact, out of all of those bands I just named, the band that had the best album might be the Beach Boys with Pet Sounds.
Okay.
But you know, you look at the way albums sold, that album didn't sell nearly as much as Van Halen's 1984 or Metallica's The Black Album. But if you held a gun to my head and asked me who the greatest American rock band is, and again, this is just me, I'd say Aerosmith. Barely beating out Van Halen and Metallica and the Beach Boys and then the Eagles. That's just my personal opinion. But we asked you to text us at 260-9595.
Chris, along with about a million other people, said Metallica.
Okay. That's a very valid and a very fair answer.
Willie Fly says the Clearwater Creedence Revival.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you, they had a lot of hits. Well, I should say he had, because John Fogerty wrote all those songs, and we had him on the show. That's valid, too.
This text says, personally, Heart.
All right, that's fair. Why not Heart?
Steven says, Kiss, the greatest American rock band, hands down.
Good answer, Steve. How about...
Right.
How about Nirvana?
They changed
everything with one guitar lick, with one song. They changed the way music sounded. They changed the way people dressed.
Ah, but what about the question of longevity? So, like this text says, Lynyrd Skynyrd would have been the greatest band if it wasn't for that fatal plane crash in 77. They were blowing bands off the stage.
That's valid too.
So
I mean,
Nirvana
before
did
that,
change.
They had a lot of hit songs. And And who knows if the if they didn't have that plane crash where their leader perished.
So if Kurt Cobain didn't have his little incident, where would they be today? Would they fall into obscurity, or would they still be making platinum hits? You know, so it's kind of hard to say. But at least like Van Halen, Aerosmith, they have a body of work that you can work with. You know,
they didn't suffer from a plane crash or a suicide. Those bands.
This text says, no doubt Aerosmith and the Eagles are the cream of the crop, but what about the Jimi Hendrix experience, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, or Lynyrd Skynyrd? I guess it's the time and era preference thing, also because of out of all those bands from recent years, I'd pick the Dave Matthews Band. But with that being said, I would go with the Eagles.
You know, you bringing up Jimi Hendrix and his band, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, and we, right before he died, we were just seeing another side of Jimi Hendrix. He was playing with a couple of other musicians besides the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And it was like, whoa, here's this other side of Jimi Hendrix. And then all of a sudden, he died. It makes you wonder, you know, saying Jimi Hendrix is valid as well, because it makes you wonder where he would be if he didn't die so young and he didn't die at the same age that Kurt Cobain from Nirvana died at. They were all part of that Forever 27 club.
Now, Billy brings up something that's interesting that I like to, that I always get into with my coworkers. So he says, my favorite band is Raff Theory. I'm not sure if they're American, but, you know, it's a little, Raff Theory. They do the theme songs for, like, Randy Orton, Raff Theory. You never heard of them?
No.
All right, but he brings up a point. He said, that's my favorite band. So when I would get into arguments with people about who's my favorite athlete or who's my favorite rock band or who's my favorite wrestler, they would always confuse my favorite with best. So they'll say, well, who's your favorite wrestler? I say, well, my favorite wrestler is so-and-so. They're like, oh, you think he's the best? No, I didn't say he was the best. See, most people can't separate somebody being their favorite with somebody being actually the best. So when it comes to rap, I know my favorite rapper isn't the best rapper. When it comes to my favorite band, I know my favorite band isn't the best band.
No, but we're asking you, who do you think is the best, the greatest American rock band of all time? And we're only asking because Eddie Van Halen died last week.
Right.
And usually, I don't like to say, well, you know, what is better? One thing, like to say Metallica is better than Jimi Hendrix, it's kind of crazy because they're both fantastic. Now, and people have different opinions, and your particular personal opinion, that's fine if you think Jimi Hendrix is better than Metallica, or if you think Metallica is better than Jimi Hendrix. But they are two of the greatest ever when it comes to rock.
Well, let's take something that you can actually build the metric of, like the greatest guitarist. You know, somebody can actually quantify their skills and their licks. Would you say that your favorite guitarist is also the best one? Or would you be like, yeah, this guy is better, but my favorite is this particular guitarist?
Well, those are two different things,
exactly,
Coleman. I mean,
exactly.
many people would say, well, I think the best is Jimi Hendrix because he's my favorite. And then someone younger would say, well, Dad, I think Eddie Van Halen, you know, or Stevie Ray Vaughan, I think they're the best because they're my favorite, when in reality, they're all fantastic.
This text says the Ramones. All right.
Look, I love the Ramones. I don't know how many people would ever call them the greatest American rock band. Obviously, the greatest American punk band, sure.
What about ZZ Top?
Hey, the same three guys from Texas have been together for over 50 years. Pretty damn good rock and roll band, if I do say so myself.
Yep, I mean, everything is just a recycle of the
bands. And I think all of those are valid. And you bring up a great point, Coleman, when people say my favorite, does that mean to them it's the best of all time? Again, we could have this discussion for eons, and I don't think you could say someone is wrong for saying any of those bands in their opinion. But I just said, if you held a gun to my head and you said, hey, Osterlund, who's the greatest American rock band? I'd say Aerosmith, but then again, Metallica isn't wrong. Nirvana isn't wrong. The Beach Boys aren't wrong.
I guess we have to find a metric that we could actually measure it by, but you can't, because there's so many different reasons people listen to music and people love bands in the first place that it's kind of hard to say this one's better than that one because people have their own different reasons why they love certain bands.
But we in America invented rock and roll. Like, we invented pretty much everything else in the world that we love.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the bands from England, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin. You know, most rock and roll fans would say, look, America, even though you invented rock and roll, England mastered it. Those guys over there, those guys were better than the American bands. And again, it's all valid. It's all fantastic. It's all great. But I was just asking a question, who was the greatest American rock band? Because Eddie Van Halen died last week. And they're in that discussion. You can continue to text us at 260-9595. We have other things we're going to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Today's a holiday. Happy Columbus Day. Schools are closed. Banks are closed. No stock market. And the post office won't be losing any mail today. And Coleman yesterday was... Bridget the Midget's 40th birthday.
I remember her.
Remember, she's a porn star.
Yeah.
So a belated happy 40th birthday to the little person porn star, Bridget the Midget. That was yesterday. We don't work on Sundays. Over the course of her illustrious career, Bridget has starred in classics like The Best Little Whore in Texas and Wet Shorty. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. What a football weekend. We still have the Saints to play tonight. Saints are playing the Los Angeles Chargers here in New Orleans. And then tomorrow night, there's still one more football game. So football won't wrap up until Tuesday night because tomorrow night, the Buffalo Bills play the Tennessee Titans on Tuesday night football, and that's because of the coronavirus. Tennessee Titans had a bunch of players and some coaches as well that tested positive for coronavirus. And, you know, if they weren't able to play that game tomorrow night, the Tennessee Titans, you might have to start thinking about making them forfeit a game because they seem to be the only team that has run afoul of getting coronavirus, getting COVID-19. They seem to be the only team. I know the Patriots had to play a game without their quarterback, Cam Newton, because he got it. But other than that, it only seems to be the Tennessee Titans in the NFL. So they obviously were doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing because every other team hasn't caught coronavirus, just the Tennessee Titans. And so we'll see tomorrow night, Tuesday night football, they play the Buffalo Bills, and that will wrap up this big football weekend. As a matter of fact, with tonight's game, with the Saints game, the Monday night game, their star wide receiver, the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, Michael Thomas, is not going to play again tonight. But this time, it has nothing to do with the injury that has kept him out the previous three games. Michael Thomas, during practice, got into a fight with reserve cornerback C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Hi-ya!
At practice over the weekend. Michael Thomas bitch-slapped C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and because of that, he's not playing tonight. So his ankle, he had a high ankle sprain, and that's why he missed three games. But he's ready to come back health-wise, but he can't come back because he punched reserve cornerback C.J. Gardner-Johnson at practice over the weekend. How much does that suck? And even though he's the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL right now, and many people say he's the best wide receiver in the NFL, he's definitely up there. He's in the conversation. Obviously, Michael Thomas, he punched C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But obviously, Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas has to grow up. He needs to mature a bit.
So that was the Saints handling that situation internally. It wasn't the NFL making Sean Payton take him out the game. It was an internal thing. Like, hey, dude, you punched this dude, so you can't play. Like, it's their own self discipline.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty cool. Cause you know, most coaches probably keep that under wraps and say, dude, he's a star player, even though he did something that violated the rules. We kind of have to have him in the game. So that's pretty cool that the Saints have that morality. Also, if Tennessee's playing on Tuesday, that means we may not have a winner for the King of the Bayou till Wednesday. Am I correct?
That's what it looks like. Our football picking King of the Bayou contest. You're right about that, Coleman.
Huh. Other than that, any other interesting games happen this weekend?
Well, on Saturday, LSU pretty much embarrassed not only themselves, they embarrassed everybody who lives in the state of Louisiana. And look, I live in New Orleans. I've lived in New Orleans now for going on 13 years. But I've always said, I live in New Orleans, but I don't live in Louisiana. Because the state of Louisiana is so much different than the city of New Orleans.
I can agree with that,
yeah. Yeah, like living in New Orleans, yeah, you live in New Orleans, but you really don't live in Louisiana. Because the people in Baton Rouge and in other places, they look at Louisiana as the devil's den, as the sin bin.
You mean New Orleans? Louisiana looks at New Orleans
yes.
like...
Yeah, the yeah. rest of New Louisiana. I mean, if you're in Baton Rouge, you don't want anything to do with New Orleans. The rest of the state of Louisiana looks at New Orleans. Yeah, fun place to go, get crazy, you know, hang around in hell for a couple of days. But then when they go back to wherever they live in Louisiana, they're like, okay, this is Louisiana. This is different than New Orleans.
And they're not wrong.
No, but I just brought that up because as someone who lives in New Orleans, I was embarrassed by the play of the LSU football team, especially the LSU defense this past Saturday. They went to Missouri to play a team that should be nowhere near as good as LSU. And Missouri beat LSU. LSU's defense played horrifically again, like they have earlier this season, like they did in the Mississippi State game.
Well, it wasn't entirely their fault. You know, they weren't prepared for the time change that sprung up on them at the last minute. Because this game was scheduled at a later date, but since the Hurricane Delta thing happened, they had to push the game up a little earlier. See, they wasn't prepared.
They did?
Yeah, you didn't know that? The game was supposed to happen later that evening, but since Hurricane Delta, something happened to where they pushed the game up to an earlier
They were
time.
Supposed to play at night, but they ended up playing around noontime.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So, going from a dinner or after dinner time kickoff to a lunchtime kickoff. So that's what you're
right. They didn't get any time to stretch and get those hamstrings correct. Talking about the defense, that's why they lost. They blew it.
Yeah, and you know the kid playing quarterback, he's playing well. Miles Brennan, I mean, trying to follow in Joe Burrow's footsteps. Joe Burrow, who literally is the greatest college quarterback season in the history of college football. So so Miles Brennan had to wait for that, and he's actually been playing pretty well. You know who he reminds me of when I see pictures of him, when I watch him?
Who that?
If you like the movie Remember the Titans, he's like the quarterback, Ronnie Sunshine Bass. He kind of looks like the quarterback from Remember the Titans. But I'll tell you, Miles Brennan has been playing great football. Not perfect, but good enough to win. Where they're not playing good enough to win is on the defensive side of the football. And their defensive coordinator, Bo Pelini, he makes over $2 million a year to coach a defense like that. He should be forced to give back some of that money, Bo Pelini.
Isn't LSU also making history? Aren't they like 0-10 on third down conversions or something like that for the entire season?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if they're that bad. It's their defense. That's the reason why they're losing. And they are the first team to win the national championship to fall out of the Associated Press top 25 in the first 3 weeks of the following season after they won the national championship. So they're pretty embarrassing LSU's football team. They're doing a good job embarrassing everybody in the state of Louisiana. You know, guys like Joe Burrow, they don't come around. They come around once in a lifetime, once in a journey. You're not gonna get that again.
So even if we didn't have the Joe Burrow season last year, you think the way that they play now would still be considered an embarrassment? Or is it just because we had such an amazing season last season that this season just seems like an embarrassment? Or do you really believe, let's say we had a 10-7 season last year, would this season be as embarrassing as it is, or is it just because we have so big shoes to fill when it comes to Joe Burrow's team?
I don't care what happened last year. When you give up over 600 passing yards to a team in a game, in one game,
point taken,
you're humiliating everyone you're supposed to be representing. You've embarrassed everyone in the state of Louisiana. You could text us if you want at 260-9595. Do you agree with my sentiment about the LSU Tigers? Again, I think Miles Brennan is playing great, but Bo Pelini in his $2.5 million a year contract with that defense, with the way they're playing, he should be forced to give back a bunch of that money. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And late last week on our show, we told you about a very disturbing story that happened at a church in Fall River, where the priest there was arrested along with two other women that he hired to not only do sex in the church there in Pearl River, Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church, but it looks like he hired these women to make a porno movie. They did sex on the altar. And they set up lights. They had basically stage lights around the altar. And there was a cell phone recording that was set up on a tripod. And they were recording that in that church there in Pearl River. And they were doing it around 11 o'clock at night when someone who lived in the neighborhood just happened to be walking down the street. He saw the lights in the church. And so he said, I'm going to go look in the window. And when he looked in the window, that's where he saw the half-naked priest with the two women who were wearing only corsets and high heels, high-heel boots. And so Father Travis Clark was arrested along with the two women. This story obviously has gone not only national, it's gone international. You think a small church in Pearl River would make so much news? And when we talked about it on the show last week, you know, I said I'm Catholic, and I know I'm not perfect, but I do the best that I can. I treat people the way that they want to be treated. I know some of the rules in the Catholic Church, they're pretty tough, especially if you're not married like me. They're really tough when it comes to doing sex and when it comes to self gratification. Some real, real, real tough rules. Well, the two women who were arrested, one was in her 40s, the other was in her 20s, Melissa Cheng and Mindy Dixon. They were arrested as well, and their pictures were going all over social media this weekend. And when we talked about it last week, I said, look, very little that happens in life offends me or shocks me. I was pretty blown away by this, though. Using a church altar in a Catholic church in Pearl River, Louisiana, as a stage for a porno film. Woo! Now, Coleman, you said a couple of things.
I already asked for forgiveness.
Well, wait
a minute.
Slow down here. I know you've asked for forgiveness. We almost did our show from that church today. We almost drove up there and did our show from the Saints Peter and Paul Church, Catholic Church in Pearl River, but we decided not to.
Yeah, I think I've offended a lot of people by not being as offended as you were, because I took it like...
Well, you're not only aren't you Catholic, you're pretty much an atheist.
Yeah.
So that offends some people alone, Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you not be able to believe? But you said something that I saw a lot of other people on social media say after you said it.
Which was?
What did they get arrested for? If that quote-unquote peeping Tom wasn't walking down the street and didn't happen to see the lights on in the church, he wouldn't have walked over and looked in the mirror. And then after that, that's when he saw the half-naked priest along with the scantily clad dressed women that he hired to make a porno film on the altar, on the church altar. And, you know, I saw some other people say, well, at least this time around with trouble with sex in the Catholic Church, at least all of these people were consenting adults.
Right.
Even though two of them, the two women, may have been paid for their participation.
I was trying to take it as the angle of, you know, let the church handle church's business. I wasn't trying to be offensive. I wasn't trying to be like nonchalant about what happened there. I was just saying I don't think he should have been legally arrested. Now, the official charge was that they were doing these acts in view of the public. But I'm also under the belief that, well, it was 11 o'clock at night, the doors were locked. Technically, he is the priest of the church, so there is an expected, a reasonable expectation of privacy.
See, I don't know about that.
See,
not in a Catholic church. I'm Catholic. Those doors, look, anything, you should be able to go in there 24 hours a
That's
day
true.
And not see a half-naked priest making a porno flick on the altar with two women that he hired.
Yeah.
Well, the Archbishop Gregory Amon of the New Orleans Archdiocese, he said, well, he went up there, and I think he burned the altar, and I think they lit it on fire, and then they did some sort of exorcism inside the church. And then there are people that are calling him sinful.
Archbishop Amon actually consecrated the new altar this afternoon at Saints Peter and Paul Church here in Pearl River. Now, many parishioners who knew of Father Travis could not believe this actually happened. Now, parishioners who attended this evening's Mass, of course, was shocked by what happened, but says we all should be Christians and not judge others for their actions.
We'll continue to pray for him, for God's forgiveness, and that he will repent of his sins, and God will forgive him.
Let me be clear, my sisters and brothers. There is no excuse for what took place here. It is sinful, and it is totally unacceptable.
Now, members with the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests say this was another blow to the Catholic Church, and that now they're looking for transparency with Archbishop Amon and looking for his resignation as well.
As we find out more and more every day that the church is not being transparent with us, as we find out more and more priests are being put on their list.
And that is from our friends at Channel 4 here in New Orleans. Thank you for that audio. So if you're listening, I mean, do you think this should be the end of Archbishop Gregory Amon here of the Archdiocese of New Orleans? I mean, look, we all know what has happened in the Catholic Church over the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and you could even, let me go back further. Do you think he should be forced to leave? This half-naked priest that's been there for a couple of years now at that particular church, Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Pearl River, that particular priest was a priest who replaced another priest in Slidell after we found out that priest not only had sex with underage boys, but recently, and I mean recently, over the last few weeks, over the last couple of months, got in trouble for texting, inappropriately texting an underage male student. So the half-naked priest, Father Travis, he replaced that other priest, Wattingly, in Slidell, after Wattingly got in trouble for texting the underage student, male student, recently.
Now, you as a Catholic, you're not like overly concerned about what has been going on? Like, you mentioned decades and decades of this.
Of course I am.
And I mean, how do you...
It's a disgrace what's been going on. But you know what's interesting? You know, they tell us we as Catholics shouldn't judge. Wait a minute. You're telling me I can't judge priests who have been doing sex with young boys? I can't judge that? Why? What? You know, those in glass houses shouldn't be throwing stones. But wait a minute here. If as a Catholic, we can't judge and have a comment and tell you how horrifying the thought of priests in our church doing sex with underage boys are, that we can't judge that as Catholics?
I think, isn't Catholicism, maybe I'm wrong, isn't it all religion kind of based on judging people about how they sin and they should repent of their sins, and if you don't, you go to hell? I think the whole concept of religion is judgmental at its base. See, that's why I can't talk about religion, because I say things.
Well, you're going to, and again, as someone who's Catholic, who you're sitting across from right now, I'm not offended by what you're saying.
Somebody is going to be.
But like, there are people that, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If we can't see priests in our own religion who are doing such sinful things, we can't look at that and have a comment about that?
You should be able to. I think you should. But I'm not religious, so I can't call it. I don't know what the rules are.
Hey, text us if you're listening right now, and chances are you're Catholic, because most people who live around here in the New Orleans metropolitan region are Catholic.
Yeah, we live in a city so Catholic, even our football team is named the Saints.
Aren't we allowed? I know we shouldn't judge. But aren't we allowed to have such negative judgments of priests who have done such horrific things? I mean, shouldn't we be able to say, hey, that dude should be in prison. That dude should be in prison. That dude should be in prison. Or are we talking out of school here? Because as Catholics, we're not supposed to judge people. How can we judge grown men who are doing sex with little boys? How can't we judge that?
I think the saying goes, hate the sin, not the sinner.
Yes.
So maybe.
But I got a big problem with the sinners. A big, big problem here. Text us. What do you think? Our number is 260-9595. Keep it short and sweet. Please do not text while you're driving. And if your texts add to our radio show, we will read them coming up next. This is a predicament here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. If you were just joining us, we were talking about what we talked about at the end of last week, a story that has not only left Louisiana to go all over America, but a story that has left America to go all over the world. It was the story out of St. Peter's and Paul Church in Pearl River, where the other night, someone was just walking down the street at 11 p.m., saw lights on inside the church, decided to look in the window, and when he looked in the window, he saw a half-naked priest and two scantily clad women on the altar. There were stage lights set up all around the altar, and whatever they were doing was being video recorded by a cell phone camera that was attached to a tripod. And come to find out, now three people have been arrested, including the half-naked priest, Father Travis Clark, and two women, Melissa Chang and Mindy Dixon. He brought these women in, hired them, consenting adults, to make a porno movie, and they used the altar of Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Pearl River. Used the altar as basically a stage for the porno. The Archbishop of the Archdiocese of New Orleans here, Gregory Amond, he burnt the altar. They did some sort of exorcism up there, and he called what happened sinful, and a bunch of people are calling him sinful because of so many of the things that have happened in the Catholic Church. And we asked you to text us. And the big question I had, I'm Catholic, but we're not supposed to judge others. Those of us in glass houses aren't supposed to throw stones. We're supposed to only hate the sin, not the sinner. But I got a big problem with not only this sinner, but a lot of the sinners that have been in my church, the Catholic Church, over the years. And I asked you, how are we supposed to feel? What are we supposed to do?
JB says, being a son of a Pentecostal preacher, I was taught not to judge. The only person that can judge is God. But how many people can actually follow that? Casey says, as a Catholic, it's telling that the church is more outraged about consenting adults doing kinky stuff than priests molesting kids.
That is very frustrating.
Big Charlie says, the Catholic Church is going to sweep it under the rug like always, in my opinion. As Catholics, no, you shouldn't judge, but you can't ignore all the facts that the priest disrespecting the church in such a manner. Linda and Slidell says, stop calling it doing sex with young boys. It's called molestation. That's what it is.
All right.
This text says, I'm a Catholic turned agnostic. And sadly, I'm unsurprised that my only question is, did they have a movie permit? I don't think they had a permit for the movie, but I think they should at least let the women go because they was hired. They didn't know what was going on. They was there to do a job. They didn't want to be involved in all this church stuff going on.
When they walked into the church and saw a priest and they said, make a porno film on the altar here?
Yeah, to them, it was just a day at work. It was just a job to them. I don't think they should be getting involved in all the legal and religious stuff. Maybe they should burn all the altars where priests molest kids. Oh, wait, if they did that, there would be only two left on the planet.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
But see, that makes me wonder. Like, they went to this extreme to burn this altar because of the immoral acts and the unethical acts that happened on the altar. And I completely get that. I understand why they had to do that. But I don't know if it would apply. Let's say the guy looked in the window and he saw just people on the stage, on the altar, like playing cards and drinking beer, like gambling or something like that. Is it just because it's a sex sin, or does any sin apply to the burning of the altar? Let's say they were just a couple of guys just smoking cigars and using curse words. That's also a sin. Would they burn the altar then?
It's a good question. You would think any sin on the altar would lead to burning the altar.
Right.
But we don't know that. If the guy was walking down the street, looked in, and just saw adults sitting up there committing another sin, like you just said, I don't know if he would have the same reaction and call the police.
Right, so it makes me wonder if there's levels to the sins. Like, oh, since it was that egregious of a sex sin, we have to throw holy water on it or burn it. But if it's just two guys smoking cigars and drinking beer.
Gambling, playing cards.
Yeah, just doing other kind of sins. Would it have made a difference? Would they burn the entire altar for that? So that's what I'm kind of concerned about. But it's not my church. I don't know.
Thank you for the texts. We always appreciate them. And no matter what we're talking about, you could always text us. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. And if it adds to our show, we will read it here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Did you see one of the most amazing knockouts you will ever see in your life over the last couple of days? Have you seen that video yet?
Yes, I have.
I just put it up on our website at bayou957.com. A guy named Joaquin Buckley. He's a mixed martial artist. He was fighting in a UFC, Ultimate Fighters Challenge fight.
Almost. Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Ultimate Fighting Championship fight. UFC. I've always been a huge boxing fan. And I enjoy the UFC as well, because now all of a sudden, unlike boxing, you can kick somebody.
Hi-ya!
And that's what happened here. This, from the other night, was one of the most amazing, incredible knockouts you will ever see if you haven't seen it yet. And if you've already seen it, you know what I'm saying is the truth. This guy, Joaquin Buckley, he spins around. He does, oh, I guess that'd be a 180, right? Or would that be a 360?
Based on how it happened, it's about a 360.
He did go all the way around.
Yeah.
And with his foot, he nails his opponent right in the jaw.
Paya!
And he kicked him so hard in the face, the dude that he kicked, he was out cold on his feet, and then he just fell to the ground. Fight over. Coleman, is that one of the most, if not the most amazing knockouts you've ever seen in your life?
That is the most amazing knockout that I've ever seen in my entire lifetime. I can vouch for that. I can say that. I've never seen anything like that in UFC or John Wick movies.
Yeah, and we found a 38-second video of it, and that shows it from a couple different directions. It is one of the most amazing feats in sport I have ever seen in my life. Without a doubt, one of the most incredible, fantastic, amazing knockouts that I have ever seen. And I guarantee when you watch it, if you haven't seen it yet, you'll feel the same way. We've got that incredible knockout, a spinning foot to the jaw. It's on our website right now. When you get a second, go check it out at bayou957.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And Saturday Night Live, I believe this past Saturday was their first episode.
Not the second.
Oh, it was the second episode of the new season. I don't watch Saturday Night Live like I used to watch it. It's gotten pretty predictable. But I wanted to tune in this past Saturday night. I didn't watch the whole show, but the reason why I wanted to tune in is because they had two of my favorite people on. Comedian Bill Burr was the host, and he's one of the greats.
He's in my top five. Bill Burr's in my top five.
He's really, really funny, and he's really good. And I knew he would piss off a bunch of people this past Saturday night with his monologue, which he did. And they also had on one of my favorite musical people, one of my favorite musicians, Jack White, was on. And to say that they both killed it would be an understatement. Bill Burr, with his monologue, did anger a bunch of people.
I got to tell you, the way white women somehow hijack the woke movement, generals around the world should be analyzing this. I don't know how they did it. I've never heard so much complaining in my life from white women. My anger to her with my SUV and my heated seats. You have no idea what it's like to be me. Trash and white guys. The nerve. Where's the camera? The nerve of you white women. I don't want to speak ill of my bitches here, okay? I don't. But let's go back in history here, okay? You guys stood by us toxic white males through centuries of our crimes against humanity. You rolled around in the blood muddy. And occasionally, when you wanted to sneak off and hook up with a black dude, if you got caught, you said it wasn't consensual. Yeah, that's what you did. That's what you did. So why don't you shut up, sit down next to me, and take your talking to.
Yeah, he's something else, Bill Burr.
I love how during his monologue, the audience didn't know whether to laugh or not at most of his jokes. He just, all right, well, I'll just move on to the next one then.
Yeah. People that show up to go watch Saturday Night Live in the studio audience in the year 2020, they don't know what to do when they hear certain jokes. They don't know if it's, I shouldn't be laughing at this. This is not politically correct.
And Bill Burr saw it coming. He also said this.
I don't know. I'll probably get canceled for doing that joke. You know, how stupid is that cancel thing? They're literally running out of people to cancel. They're going after dead people now. They're trying to cancel John Wayne. It's like, yeah, dude, God did that 40 years ago. They're all up in arms. They're like, did you hear what he said in that interview in Playboy in 1970? Can you believe that? It's like, yeah, he was born in 1907. That's what these people sounded like. You never talked to your grandparents and brought up the wrong subject? And all of a sudden it went off the rails. Like, oh, grandma. Just keep making the cookies. Yeah, you don't bring up race or religion with your grandparents. You keep it simple.
Everybody's quiet.
Anyway.
That's how it was. And after all of his jokes, they'd just be quiet like, should we laugh? Should we clap? What do we do? And he just went, all right, anyway, next one.
He's right about the cancel culture, how the cancel culture is awful. And we used to live in a country where if you didn't like something someone said, all right, I don't like that. I won't listen to it anymore. I won't listen to that person, whatever the case would be. But now, because of social media, the cancel culture wants to eliminate anything that they disagree with, that they don't like, that they find offensive. And that is the worst thing for the United States of America with the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, the freedom of speech. Now there are so many people that I'm not going to say it because I need my job.
Right. I was watching Saturday Night Live skits on YouTube yesterday. You know, when you go down that rabbit hole, you watch Bill Burr and you start going down the rabbit hole. It was a bit from 70 years ago, and it would not fly today. It was called the Ambiguous Gay Duo, and it was about these two superheroes that they didn't know whether they were gay or not. And some of the jokes and innuendos in that skit from 7 years ago today would not fly at all. Have you seen some of the comments like recently? Like, why? I can't believe SNL did this skit. Like, do they know? Like, no, it was 70 years ago. It was a different time, a different era. You can get away with it, and people thought it was funny. But now that same bit is like, oh no, this can't fly today.
Coleman, if you go back and watch all of the bits on Saturday Night Live, starting from when that show started in the mid-1970s.
Oh, yeah.
More bits than not would not be allowed to be on today. I mean, bit after bit after bit after bit. I remember a conversation between Chevy Chase and Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That could never air today. I remember when they used to have a guest host named Buck Henry. He came on and he played the dirty uncle or the dirty old man when Lorraine Newman and Gilda Radner were the little girls that he was supposed to be babysitting. And he's looking under the glass table and he's taking pictures. I mean, there were so many bits that they did back in the day that they couldn't even attempt to do today. It just shows you how much times have changed. As a matter of fact, when Bill Burr was talking about the cancel culture, how they're running out of alive people to cancel, and that's why they're going after John Wayne. Today's Columbus Day. They're trying to cancel Christopher Columbus. They're trying to cancel him right now as we speak. And kids don't have school today. There's no stock market. The banks won't be open today. The post office won't be late delivering your mail today or losing your mail today. It's still a holiday. Today, Columbus Day, today might be the last Columbus Day ever.
I wonder when people became so sensitive. To where they, like, even the audience members who were watching Bill Burr live did not know whether they should even laugh at the jokes or not because they felt some sort of way about the jokes. Like, they didn't know whether to clap. They were looking around. Like, what do we do? Do we laugh? It shouldn't be that way. If you think it's funny, you should be able to laugh. If you don't think it's funny, then you don't laugh. I don't see why it's that difficult of a concept to grasp. Like, I didn't find that funny, so I won't laugh. But that was hilarious. You know, I watched the Weekend Update with Michael Che and Colin Jost, and I told you this off the air. I disagree with them politically, but the jokes are funny. You know, even though they say jokes about this and that and some of the things, I get their perspective, and in the context of their perspective, the jokes are funny, and I laugh my ass off at them.
Yeah, I blame social media for that, Coleman. Mm-hmm. You just asked, when did we get to the point where everything changed? Where here in America, we went from, okay, well, we didn't like that, so we just won't laugh at that, and we won't watch that person or listen to that person anymore. Mm-hmm. When it went from that to this person needs to be eliminated from society, that this person should not be allowed to tell their jokes or to do their show or to do whatever they want. They should not be allowed. I blame that. You asked the question, when did that happen?
Yeah.
I think much of it, if not all of it, it started with social media.
The Twitter?
And it started with Twitter and Facebook, where now people can get together, they can complain together, and then they can try to eliminate something together. They can and the bosses, the higher ups at whoever pays these people, now they actually see it. They mm-hmm. never saw it before social media. They never saw it right in front of their face before.
And
look at all those people.
And yeah. Instantaneous, like at that moment. You know, one of the most weirdest things that I saw was last episode, the season premiere of Saturday Night Live. They did a parody of the Trump debate and the Trump-Biden debate. And Jim Carrey was Joe Biden and Alec Baldwin was Donald Trump. Now, SNL was trying their best to make it even. They took jabs at Trump. They took jabs at Joe Biden. You know, both of them, you know, they were kind of parroting both of them. But the studio audience, every time they bashed Trump with a joke, hilarious. They would bust out laughing. They would start clapping. But every time they took a shot at Biden, the audience kind of silent, like non, like they didn't like that. And you can tell by the laughter and what they laughed at and what they didn't laugh at, even though both, you know, they took shots at both sides, you can tell the audience members leaned a certain way because they laughed at Alec Baldwin's Trump every time they bashed him. But when Jim Carrey did Joe Biden, they were like, I don't find that too funny.
That's where we're at right now. I thought Bill Burr was great. And then Jack White.
I couldn't get it to Jack White. It was kind of fuzzy on that one. But yeah, he did. Ginty said it on Twitter. He killed it. But yeah.
Jack White did a couple of songs, and whether it was his band, the White Stripes, whether it's Jack White on his own, whether it's with his other band, the Raconteurs, no, everything Jack White has done. The guy, he's so good as a guitar player, as a singer, as a songwriter, and he always pays tribute to where he came from. We go back to the old blues guys, the old black blues guys, American rock and roll. Jack White has always been great, and he's always been so damn respectful.
Now, wasn't he a last-minute fill-in? He wasn't supposed to be the musical guest for this SNL, right? And I think they called him in like the last minute.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the story that would happen. He filled in at the last minute. Somebody else canceled, and he came in ended up being one of the best live performances based on everything I'm seeing on Twitter. Like, whoa, he killed it. Jack White killed
it. Well, historically, a show, Saturday Night Live, that has been great and funny. I know recently it's pissed off half the country the last few years. But this past Saturday night with Bill Burr and Jack White on there, it made it a really good episode of that show.
You know how good that show was? Like, you mentioned how good Bill Burr was. You know who the first guest was at the season premiere?
Who?
Chris Rock. So Bill Burr just outshines Chris Rock. Chris Rock did the monologue for the season opener, but everybody's talking about the Bill Burr stand-up.
In week number two of the season. How about that? That's what we're talking about. And if you want to text us, did you really enjoy Bill and Jack like I did? Or were you offended like so many people that we've seen on social media, on Twitter? Bill Burr is trash and has always been trash. And not because he doesn't raise valid criticisms of some of his comedy, but because he has always leveraged his ability to point them out to the detriment of change and the benefit of himself. And he can bleep off into the sun for it. I'm just reading a couple of the things that people said about him. I thought he was funny. I thought he was good. You can text us. Let us know what you thought. At 504-260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. And if it adds to the show, we will read it. Coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Halloween is coming up. And I know because of coronavirus, in some places it's not going to be like it normally is. But we're still going to give Halloween a go here in and around New Orleans. I know that. I know some people wanted the kids to dress up in costumes, sit in their front yard, and have adults in the neighborhood drive by and throw candy at them. I don't think that's going to happen. But still celebrate Halloween if that's what you like to do. And I've noticed online, here comes the people again that are telling people what you're not supposed to dress as for Halloween. I know on the website, Pinterest, they've been doing this now. This is the fourth or fifth year that Pinterest has been going out of their way to tell people, hey, people's culture are not your Halloween costume. And I know the one they always show is they show dressing as a Mexican person. They show with the big
sombrero.
The big sombrero and the big mustache. You could be walking around playing maracas. They're saying that should not be a Halloween costume. And I remember when I was a kid for years, being the Mexican guy was always fun. But I guess another sign how times are changing here in the United States of America. Things that we used to think were fun, evidently, they're not fun. And whether it's, I remember when American girls for Halloween used to dress up like geisha girls.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to do that anymore. If you do that, people are going to look at you funny, and they're going to judge you for taking someone else's culture and making it a costume. Other people's cultures are not supposed to be Halloween costumes.
So no Moana, you can't do that. No Native American, can't be Sacagawea.
No.
You can't be, can I still wear my vagina hat?
Those are still popular in the feminist circle.
All right.
So I think we'd be able to do that, Coleman.
Vagina.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I'm going to say happy Columbus Day. This may be the last Columbus Day ever in America. Because the cancel culture is out for Christopher Columbus, even though he's been dead for a few years.
I'm indifferent about it. I still had to work both jobs today. I didn't get off today, this morning, and I don't get off at night. So what holiday is it for me? Call it whatever you want.
So you're mad about Columbus Day for other reasons. It has nothing to do with Columbus.
Right.
I got you, Coleman. It's about that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Canadian woman returns cursed artifacts stolen from Pompeii. So this Canadian woman, she was a tourist over in Pompeii, Italy. And she's 36 years old now. But that Canadian tourist has returned artifacts she stole from the ancient site of Pompeii. And she returned them because she says they were bad luck. The 36-year-old woman, who was only identified as Nicole,
you idiot,
sent a package of the relics and a note confessing to taking them to a local travel agent in Italy. And the note she wrote said, quote, take them back, please. They bring bad luck. She wrote of the two, mosaic pieces, a piece of ceramic and two parts of an ancient jar known as an amphora.
Old stuff. Let's just say old stuff. Relics and mosaics and old stuff. Ceramic tiling and jars.
She said that she stole these artifacts back in 2005 while on a trip to Pompeii, Italy, that tourist destination. And those artifacts, they were preserved in part as a result of the eruption of Mount Vesuvius more than 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Everybody in Pompeii is stuck in place still to this day. Like all their bodies, they're like statues. They all, wherever they were when that volcano erupted, that's exactly how they are now.
But these artifacts came out of that, and they were on display at this place in Pompeii, Italy, and this woman from Canada decided, I'll take these. And she stole them. That was 15 years ago.
And she got past customs and everything.
She wrote in her note, quote, I was young and stupid, and I wanted to have a piece of history that nobody had. But she said after she brought the mementos home to Canada, she was struck by a series of tragic events. She said that she believes that she stole a piece of history that had lots of negative energy inside. Well,
well, stealing it in of itself is negative energy.
I think you were the negative. Yeah, I think this woman was the negative piece to this puzzle. She said, quote, people there died in horrible ways. Bad luck played with me and my family. She has battled breast cancer twice since returning from Pompeii with the stolen artifacts.
Wow, that's one cancer for each boob.
Hmm. She said she plans to return to Italy so that she can apologize in person.
To who? Who, like the people of Pompeii or the customs agency or whatever? Who did she have to apologize to?
I don't think she's going to do that. Because if she goes over there and apologizes, they can keep her there.
Yeah.
I know we have a good relationship with Italy and as a country, but Madonna me, as they say over in Italy. I mean, you steal something that's a couple of thousand years old, you steal a couple of pieces, artifacts that are a couple of thousand years old, and now you're going to go back to apologize?
Isn't that the Canadian way, though? Don't they apologize for literally everything, even if it isn't their fault?
Hmm. And she finished by saying, quote, we're good people. I just want to shake this curse off me and my family. Please take these artifacts back so I can do the right thing and mend the mistake I've made. You know what they should do in Italy? They should say, no. No. We are no, take it back. They should say, no.
Like, they don't want to get breast cancer in Italy. Take these breast cancer artifacts back.
The owner of the travel agency, which received the artifacts and the apology letter, turned them over to the police in Italy over there. See, now the cops are looking. And I'll just bring up one name when it comes to Americans and Italian justice. Do you remember the name Amanda Knox? She was also known as Foxy Noxy.
Mm-hmm.
This Canadian woman should maybe give Amanda Knox a phone call and say, hey, I returned these artifacts that I stole, these 2,000-year-old artifacts that I stole, but I'm thinking about hopping on a plane, flying over to Italy, and apologizing in person. I bet you Amanda Knox would tell her, I would think twice before I did that.
If I was the police, I wouldn't even accept the artifacts. Like, dude, we don't want to get breast cancer either, man. Take these back to the site where you got them from. Don't bring it to us. Why is she spreading the curse around? That's worse than COVID.
Well, the Canadian woman who returned the stolen artifacts that were over 2,000 years old that she stole from a museum or someplace over in Pompeii, Italy. And now she wanted to return them because she said they're cursed. This whole thing is dumb. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know, Donald Trump isn't the only United States president to fall ill. And I know there are people that are going back and forth on how sick he really was. There are some people think the whole thing was a conspiracy theory with the coronavirus. But he's not the first president to fall ill. George Washington had a tumor removed from his thigh. Could you imagine that back then? Woodrow Wilson had a stroke. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we know he was in a wheelchair. And Bill Clinton had numerous bouts with the clap. So don't fret it, no matter how you feel. Hey, it's our commercial-free ride right now. We're in it right now here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.